Hello, my name is Andia and I'm your host. Welcome to the Quantum Recovery Podcast. I'm a licensed counselor and quantum health coach, and this podcast is all about exploring the new quantum health paradigm. My mission is to simplify the quantum biology practices and principles so you can thrive in your recovery. I'm so happy you're here. And remember, this is for educational purposes only. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Quantum Recovery Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to talk about the stages of change. And before I do that, I actually want to say this, or actually last week, I started the pre-sale for Quantum Recovery Reset, which is a course that it's my first course I'm launching, but I'd argue I've written many things before this, but it's very exciting. It is the first course I've written that is focused on recovery and quantum healing. So I'm very excited. And that's kind of what prompted this Stages of Change. Plus, I mentioned it in the Quantum Biology Collective podcast that I did with Meredith Oki. And so just wanted to do a little dive into each stage so everybody's clear on the stages of change. Plus, when we actually go and do things like, you know, we purchase a course, or we purchase something where we need to learn or relearn, or there's motivation involved, like a gym membership, something in these lines, what we're a lot of times purchasing is the idea, the result at the end. We're purchasing what we want. And we forget sometimes that there's this middle ground of the actual work and that we actually have to change. So I think that the stages of change really is a coping skill. It is a coping skill to, you know, you could use this as a self-assessment. Hey, what stage of change am I in before I work with this coach? What stage of change am I in before I purchase this membership where I am going to have to change my behavior? And it's going to involve changing my schedule, possibly other people in my life, depending on how big your family is, if you have children, all of those things come into a factor. And you're probably thinking right now, maybe back to when you have purchased something, or maybe you've recently purchased something and it's still in the box, if you will. Or maybe you purchased a summit and you've never watched any of the interviews because you didn't have time. But you mean well, because what you wanted from that summit was the motivation and the learnings that you knew you would get from the end result. See, we're always thinking about our end result self, that person we want to be, because we're rewriting our story in recovery and we're reaffirming our new identity. So I think that the stages of change are helpful to know. So the stages of change are actually from two researchers in the 70s, James Prochaska and Carlo Di Clemente. This model, if you will, is actually called the trans-theoretical model, or what's known as the stages of change. So, you know, this model was used to help people lose weight. It was helping people with injury prevention and overcoming addiction from drugs and or alcohol. So what I'm going to do is we're going to walk through each stage. And the first stage that we are going to talk about is the pre-contemplative stage of change. This is the state of change where we're very defensive. And also I want to just say, you know, I'm talking about not just addiction from chemicals or substances, but we're talking about behavioral addictions. We're talking about all addictions. You know, there is an argument that everybody's addicted in some way, shape, or form. Might not be to substances, but it could be to a number of things. So when we're approached, right, about our problem that we have, we will get defensive in this stage, because guess what? We don't think we have a problem. There's nothing going on here. What are you talking about? We're very resistant to even the suggestion that there is a problem going on, right? Therefore, we're really uncommitted because we don't know what we don't know, and we don't even see that we have a problem. Maybe we do know deep down we have a problem, but we are just simply not ready to change it. Nope, this is working for me right now. Don't talk to me about it, blah, blah, blah. But consciously or unconsciously, we are taking steps to avoid changing behavior in this stage, whether they're subconscious and we don't know we're doing it, or they're conscious and we actually know we have a problem, but we just don't want to address it. You know, and there's just a lack of awareness. And there's often pressure by people in our lives, especially family, people who are really close to us, that will bring this up, especially if it's addiction and they want us to seek treatment, maybe, or it's something that's really wreaking havoc on our life, but it's also affecting them in some way. Of course, there's going to be more motivation on their part to, you know, say something to us because they love us. You know, and sometimes we feel like in the stage that we're being coerced by or forced or given ultimatums, things like this, to change. They're saying, hey, you need to do this or this is going to happen, right? You need to quit using this substance or you're kicked out of the house, or you know, these kinds of things. Or possibly in this stage, you know, there might be an intervention if those efforts were happening by family members before that, and then nothing happened. They may bring in a professional when the person is still in a pre-contemplative stage of change. When we're talking about, this is talking about like addiction from substances or alcohol or what have you. When I say substances, I mean alcohol as well. It is also a drug, chemical, what have you. So I don't like to talk about it separate, like drugs and alcohol. No, it's included. But since so many people do that, I just want to just clarifying there. So the next stage is contemplation. So this is where, you know, where there's distress. It's stressful knowing that we have to change, but we're not quite all in because we're kind of just still curious in, do I have a problem? Do I not have a problem? But we're thinking about it. We're thinking about making a change. Maybe so many people have told me, and you know, it doesn't always mean that other people told us that we need to change, but you know, we haven't really begun taking any action, but we're thinking about it and it's causing a little bit of stress. And you know, we might have also at this point in contemplation already tried to make changes in the past and they failed. So then we kind of took that on as part of our identity, like, oh, I'm a failure. It leads to that negative self-talk. So then we kind of go back into that pre-contemplation, like we kind of give up, right? And so we kind of teeter-totter between the pre-contemplative and the contemplative stage, just, you know, by ourselves. But oftentimes in this stage is when we do that pros and cons. It might just be a thought process. It might be a formal thing that you write down, but this is where we're doing that pros and cons. And then from that contemplation, hopefully the person will see all the pros of changing their behavior and they get a little bit motivated, so motivated that it brings them to the next stage, which is preparing to change. So in preparation, we are definitely intending to change this behavior. There's no action yet, but we're gonna change. We're getting ready to change. We have an attitude and a behavior that is firing up to change, and we're on the verge of taking that change. And we're really engaged in this change process. You know, change is the only constant. So with talking about this, just want to say again, we're not just talking about addiction. We can talk about any, you can be in the stage of change for any behavior that you need to change or that you want to change. But in this stage, we are very prepared to make firm commitments. This is very likely the stage where you will write down goals and, you know, you're making a decision to change. You've made that decision. I'm doing it. And then in the next stage is action. Action is we have 100% decided what we're going to make the change. We've also have put accountability measures into place where we've told people, we've verbalized to them and demonstrated that we are making this commitment. Hey, these are the things that I've decided. I've decided to change this behavior. And these are some of the things that I've done, and I'm doing it. It's happening. And the action stage is also where we're gonna modify our environment, possibly. There may be things in our environment that we have to prep before actions can take place. This is that stage that is deemed an action. So let's say you're quitting drinking. You may make sure that all of your alcohol in the house and all your hiding places and everything are cleared out and that alcohol is gone. Maybe you told your family members in the house that live with you or your roommates or whoever, partners, whoever it is, hey, this is where I used to hide things. I'm clearing it out. I'm done. I want you to help me get rid of it and dump it all out or whatever. That would be an example of changing environment. And the willingness to actually follow some of the recommendations that people, when we were in the contemplation stage of change, our loved ones would say, oh, we think you have a problem. We suggest blah, blah, blah. You know, in those other stages, we're not open to those suggestions. But in the action stage, you're like figuring it out because you've made the decision. So you're very open to any activities that might help, any suggestions. You are open to those things because you really truly want to change. You've made that decision and you're already taking actions. And then the next stage is going to be maintenance. And maintenance is where you are go like so in recovery, we would call this is very relapse prevention planning, right? Because you are working on the sustained changes that you've made. And this is taking a considerable focus in your life. And you're avoiding steps to when it comes to addiction to return to use. You are avoiding all of those things. You are, if you are triggered, you're learning from the triggers. That fear is starting to dissipate because you're becoming stronger. And there's also, you know, on the other side of that, there can be fear and worry that, you know, oh my gosh, I'm doing this well. What if I return to use? And you may face high risk situations because in maintenance, like this is like we're talking, you know, in our long-term recovery, if you will, termination is the next stage where we really in long-term recovery. But in that maintenance, that's the between stage of early recovery and long-term recovery. So you start to experience those real life situations and they just come up. We can't predict them. They just come up. Maybe they trigger you, maybe you don't, but you take those triggers and you turn them into strength. Like you use that as, oh, this is awareness. I have a reason here and something to work on because this is still triggering me. For instance, maybe you get in a fight with your partner and you're like, whoa, this when they talk in that tone, something in me just goes off. This is a really good opportunity to talk that out and actually just tell them. Instead of just doing the fight like we normally would do in our old identity, in our new identity, say, man, I just figured it out. When you speak in that way to me, it's triggering something. Maybe it's something in my childhood. Maybe it was someone who hurt me in my childhood, but it makes this anger ball up inside of me. And I want to react. And right now is one of those moments, but I'm not going to react, but I'm noticing that trigger. We can talk that out. And I know it sounds weird because it's not intuitive. It's not the norm. Trust me, and I've done it and it does it seems weird because you have that feeling happening inside where you're like, "Oh, I'm going to react. Oh, I'm going to get in a fight right now because I'm triggered." But instead you say, "Oh, whoa. That I feel something there." It's just a heightened awareness. It's a higher level of self. You are rewriting your story. You are re literally rebirthing yourself in recovery. So these things are going to feel weird because guess what? Different neurons talking to neurons over here and neurons over here, they're going to start talking to each other when new things happen. And that's uncomfortable. It's always going to feel uncomfortable until we normalize it. So that's all happening in this stage, this maintenance stage. And you know, and over time, are these situations, the triggers, the fears of returning to use, they're just going to happen less and less because at this point, just think about it. Like you've just had more life experience in recovery, in your sobriety, where things are going to start to dissipate. It heightens as you just have experience in recovery because your life is going on. It's not like your life stopped. So you're going to have all those triggers and experiences, and then it's going to start to go down because naturally you're going to have felt more things, been in more experiences, done more things, like just being put in situations where you might be triggered. Like, you know, I know for me, like I don't always go to concerts, but every single once in a while I do. Well, do you think I went and co to concerts in my active use? Hell yeah, I did. That was like one of the biggest event type of things we did, and I did it a lot. So, you know, in my recovery, I wasn't going to concerts as much because I knew that they were triggering me, but eventually, you know, I went to them, right? And then you experience them and things happen, and you know, eventually you're just enjoying it. And because, you know, your dopamine levels and everything start to come into balance and you're actually enjoying things and realizing, oh, hey, I actually don't need to get messed up or use to have a good time. I can enjoy this in recovery. And those things take time. Now, the next stage is termination. This stage is that long term. We're feeling happy, joyous, and free. It's that long-term sustained recovery. We gain confidence. We're really li literally l rewriting ourselves. We are not that old person. We are not that person anymore that was using. And if we do have a lot of those character traits, that just is a sign we need to do more work. You know, we might have some, you know, in 12-step recovery, they say character defects. I'm going to say character traits. Because our we learn from them, and I don't want to use negative words. So we're going to say character traits. So one of mine was dichotomous thinking, like all or nothing thinking. I just saw something here or there. I didn't see any of the in between. That was one of my huge ones. Took a lot of time for that to subside and go away. But in termination, you start to work on those things, especially if you're doing therapy and you're getting some of these golden nuggets of belief change, so we can really change the subconscious mind. And you are changing your subconscious mind because your subconscious mind, remember, it doesn't speak English, it speaks in feelings. So we have no choice but to address our triggers, to really come at them with a mindset of, I'm going to learn from this experience. I'm not going to let it get me down. Not going to, I'm going to take it as a learning of how does Andia, my end result Andia, how does she handle this? Not how does reactive, angry, using Andia deal with this? We want to remember, like Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about living in our present past or our present future. We don't want to live in our present past. We want to live in our present moment, but looking at future, not in a like anxious anxiety way, like in a worry way, but in a healthy way. Who's my future self? Like I know, like I want, let's say, more confidence or what have you. I'm going to act in that way. We need to act our way and behave our way into it. We cannot just think our way into what we want. Yes, thoughts become things. That is a very true statement because it is the universal law. However, though, if we want certain things in our life, then we need to consciously make sure that we are making decisions consciously from the person that we strive to be, with all those good character benefits that you are striving for. So confidence, loving, compassionate, all of that's the person that we want to be, because that person vibrates quantumly at a very high level, very high. And that's what we want. I can argue that all of us desire that, right? That's what we want. We're striving for better. In termination, that's what we're doing, because termination implies the termination of that old behavior. And in this, we do form new identity. We do have a new self-image, and that, you know, there's absolutely no reaction when we're tempted for use, that we just don't have a desire in that stage to use. And of course, there is another stage, which is called relapse. And when relapse happens, we return to the old behavior and we go back into the cycle We can go back into the cycle, any of the other stages. So we might go back to preparation. We might go back into action. We could go all the way back to pre-contemplation. It will just depend. But yeah, so that is the stages of change. I hope that was helpful and just more detail on that topic, because you can really, the next time you want to work with a coach, maybe you're going to take my course. Maybe you're going to take somebody else's course. Maybe you're going to work with another coach, whatever you're going to do. Ask yourself, what stage of change am I in with this? Because if you are in the preparation stage of change or action, you are going to kill it with that coaching, with that course, because you are ready. Those are the moments. So I want you to, if you're excited right now, like I want you to like make that purchase, like do what is going to serve you in building your new identity and your new recovery and your new learnings when you are in that right stage of change. Because in that moment, you are going to really, really be able to actually do what is being asked of you. You are going to be more prone to soaking in the information and learning it. So I do hope this was helpful. And I'll stop it here and I'll see you in the next one. Don't forget to drink water. See you later, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you found value in this information. And if you did, please share it. Another way to support the podcast is to leave a 5-star review. If you want to connect, you can message me on Instagram or email me at andiaray@outlook.com. And remember, drink water.